This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, August 8th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the third and final report in the series on Springfield's race riots of 100 years ago. We'll also check out your AM 580 weather forecast for this weekend in Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. Criminal charges have been filed against a former Urbana school superintendent, as well as the district's one-time human resources director and a former grade school principal. Jean Amberg, Carmelita Thomas, and Janice Bradley are accused of violating a state law that requires school officials to report complaints of child abuse to the state. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz accuses the three of deciding on an internal investigation instead of reporting John White in 2006. White was later charged with 8 counts of sexual assault against his former first-grade students. He's now serving a 60-year prison sentence. Reitz says the mandatory reporting law is relatively new, and this case may be one of the first times it's been enforced.
We were unable to find any actual criminal cases that had been filed out of this statute, very little case law on the issue, and that was part of the reason we were spending time making sure that the facts fit the law as it's written.
Amberg, Thomas, and Bradley are charged with misdemeanors. They're to report to court August 22nd. The charges carry sentences of up to a year in jail if they're convicted. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is thinking beyond next week's special sessions. He's already looking ahead to next month. Sean Crawford explains.
The governor told reporters he's considering keeping lawmakers in Springfield throughout the fall.
I am, in fact, thinking about the possibility of whether or not we discuss with the legislative leaders after Labor Day, scheduling maybe 2, 3, 4 days a week throughout the fall for education funding and job creation.
The legislature had been scheduled to return to the Capitol in November for the fall veto session, but the governor is ordering them back for 2 days next week. Blagojevich has frequently used special sessions in an effort to get lawmakers to consider his agenda, but they've rarely been successful. I'm Sean Crawford.
State troopers have quietly started helping Chicago police fight crime. That follows a noisy war of words in recent weeks between Governor Rod Blagojevich and Mayor Richard Daley about the possibility of cooperation. State police made several arrests yesterday in the city and tracked the movements of a handful of gang members. Illinois State Police Director Larry Trent says he's worked closely with Chicago Police Superintendent Jody Weiss to develop a plan of cooperation. Weiss says he's very happy to have the help. The effort comes as Chicago police statistics show homicide in the city rose 18% through July compared with 2007. Speeders on Illinois highways may be caught on camera if a new proposal gets through the legislature. Governor Blagojevich yesterday proposed the placement of speed enforcement cameras along interstate highways to crack down on reckless drivers. He says the effort would generate $40 million in the first year, and that money would be used to hire 500 new state troopers who could help cities such as Chicago that are troubled by gang violence. Cameras already catch motorists violating the speed limit in work zones when workers are present. The new plan calls for 108 cameras that would target drivers going more than 80 miles per hour. The fine would be $75. The program would cost an estimated $4 million a year. It may not have federal approval, but the groups behind the proposed FutureGen coal-fired power plant are going ahead and buying the land for the project. The FutureGen Alliance of Power and Coal Companies and the economic development group Coals Together say they'll exercise their options next week to buy about 400 acres near Mattoon. It'll cost the groups $6.5 million. Coals Together President Angela Griffin says they're confident that the Energy Department will reverse its rejection of the $2 billion FutureGen project, especially once a new administration comes to the White House next year.
If FutureGen doesn't go forward, although everyone believes that it will, but if something were to happen and FutureGen didn't go forward, we have a very valuable piece of land sitting on top of some very valuable geology, and we didn't want that land and that geology to get beyond our reach.
Federal support for FutureGen was scuttled last year, just as Mattoon was named as the site of the power plant. It would burn coal with much less pollution, storing the carbon dioxide far underneath the site. Last year, the state of Illinois issued more than 30,000 coupons for low-income families to be redeemed at local farmers markets. Nearly half of those went unused, but there are efforts underway at the local level to change that. Stephanie Kuntz of St. Joseph says she's thrilled to have the chance to shop for fruits and vegetables. She works in retail and, as a result, can't get to Urbana's market on the square on Saturdays. But yesterday's market, farmer's market offered by the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, gave her another option.
It's all available right here. I'm not having to drive all over town and fight traffic and trying to request days off. And it's just lovely that they could do it here today. It's much more convenient.
Kuntz and her kids are among the more than 4,000 area clients in the Women, Infants, and Children or WIC program. She picked up vouchers at the public health office beforehand and planned to spend them all yesterday instead of taking off work on a Saturday to use some.
Or you just have to go without and call the WIC office and say, hey, you know, I never got to use them. And a lot of times they'd even, you know, hey, we'll give them to somebody else if you can't use them. And you kind of feel bad.
The unused vouchers are nothing new. The State Department of Human Services says nearly $250,000 in vouchers weren't redeemed last year statewide. Department spokesman Tom Green says the schedule of these markets is tough on working moms and time gets away from them.
Before they're given the farmers market checks, they're, you know, we discuss with them, you know, whether they'll be able to actually use them and ensure that, you know, that they have some way to actually cash them in and use them.
More than 100 WIC clients attended yesterday's CUPHD Farmers Market. Based on its success, the Public Health District says another is planned for next month and one may be held in October as well. Meanwhile, the director of Urbana's Market on the Square, Lori Braltz, says she's encouraging more of her vendors to register with the state and accept WIC vouchers, although many are already WIC recipients. Braltz also hopes to work with the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District soon to set up a shuttle service to her farmers market, giving more access to all who attend. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Springfield's race riot of 1908 is a dark chapter in the city of the great emancipator. In order to evaluate where Springfield is today, Jenna Dooley talks with the people responsible for bringing this history back into light.
Springfield had the wooden blocks in the street, and they tore up these wooden blocks, you know, throwing in, you know how mob just, anything they get their hands on out there seeking to destroy. To vent their hatred on the officials who had caused them to be robbed of a victim that they thought they should have killed and destroyed.
Springfield's black community is substantially larger today than in 1908, from 5% to around 15%. Ken Page is the president of Springfield's chapter of the NAACP. Page says the city is in a better place than it was 100 years ago, but says there are areas for improvement.
Employment of African Americans is a big issue. And employment of African Americans in the city, employment of African Americans on the police force, as well as the fire department. And those issues are linked, have been there a very long time, which is very unfortunate. We should be beyond that, and our elected officials in the city should be working to make sure that we're not dealing with that in 2009.
Springfield Police Chief Ralph Caldwell says the city is targeting minority recruits for the force, but the numbers of black officers doesn't reflect that. Just 11 African Americans out of 275 officers. Caldwell says ideally the police force would have the number of African American officers to match the demographics of the city.
I think the population, I think, is at approximately 15%. That would be ideal. Obviously, you're not going to get there if you're at 5%. You're not going to get there overnight. So, you know, I'd like to see a gradual increase, and hopefully that'll happen in the next several tests that we have.
He says the department is working with individual applicants to improve test scores used to hire officers. Mike Williams is with the Springfield-based grassroots group One in a Million. He organized the city's annual Juneteenth celebration to honor the end of slavery in America. He says change is a matter of give and take.
Both sides are going to be emotional because blacks feel that's why we're here, because of slavery, and you guys won't give us this and you won't give us that. And whites feel, well, you guys are supposed to get it. We ain't just supposed to give it to you. And both sides have a legitimate point, but both sides need to come together and say, hey, wait a minute, you're right. You know, you guys need to have this, and you guys need to work for it. We need to make sure it's available to you. and then you start moving forward. And I think we start with the little children. I think we start with the third, second, third, and fourth graders. Mm-hmm. And we show them and we let them understand that just because somebody, not just black or white, because we have a lot of other races in this town too, are of different color, or of different religion, or of different ethnic background, doesn't mean one is better than the other. We're all created equal and we all should love one another. And we start with the kids.
Progress is difficult to measure, according to those involved with commemorating the anniversary of the 1908 race riot. That doesn't stop the drive to keep this history alongside Springfield's more favorable events and characters.
This is supposed to be the capital. This is where the laws are made. And we understand that you cannot legislate morality and values. But what you need to do is you're going to have to work within the laws. And they had lost all sense of law there.
And with the subject of race issues, you have to make sure that something isn't misconstrued and that no one takes offense, you know, setting the stage where no one's trying to offend, you know, so everyone, you know, listen and try to understand and hear what people are trying to say. I just think it's really up to whoever's facilitating the discussion to make sure that no one's just ready to take offense. You're just sitting down with an open mind and open heart and willing to listen and learn and then have an honest discussion.
For African Americans, it's very heartbreaking and it's very tragic just to think of it. And then for white Americans in this city, some of them, they don't want to bring it up because they feel that people will point the finger and say that they did it. But absolutely not. That was 100 years ago. So I think that's a lot of guilt when people say, well, you're going to point the finger. I think when people feel that way, they need to look and say, you know, what am I doing to make it better?
It has become clear to me that the responsibility to educate oncoming generations is constant. You can never be satisfied that you've done the job. We did a big job in the 1970s. Within 10 years, people were saying, well, I never even heard of that race riot. Then the documentary and the markers in the 1980s revitalized interest, but now people are saying, I never heard about that race riot. The centennial commemoration will be a major effort to redress that in a lot of ways, but 10 years from now, you know, much of that will simply be ancient history. So the responsibility of a community is to face its history, to learn lessons from it, and to constantly relearn and repeat those lessons.
Carol Merritt, guest curator for the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum exhibit marking the anniversary, says there are measurable improvements in the city of Springfield.
Race still matters. Race is still the primary indicator for quality of life, for one's quality of life. But when you look at the fact that 100 years later, an Illinois senator launches his political campaign in Springfield and becomes eventually a major party's presidential candidate, that's a remarkable achievement. And so in a sense, the two come hand in hand. The racial divisions are still there, but undeniably, there's been significant progress.
Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to wrap, for the tree to dry. And bitter cry.
The whole three-part series can be heard again on Illinois Edition at WILL. That airs tonight at 10 and tomorrow morning at 11 on AM 580. In the forecast for the region, sunny skies today with a high around 82 degrees. Mostly clear skies tonight, the low around 58. Sunny skies Saturday, the high around 82. Mostly clear Saturday evening, the lows around 58 degrees. Sunny skies Sunday, the high around 82. Mostly clear Sunday evening with a low in the lower 60s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WILL.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.